This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's yet another Ides of March Enviro Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Dio. I am not in the studio with...
Beware. This is Glenn Ayers.
That's right, Glenn. Once again, it's time to remind certain despots to beware the Ides of March. Their tendency to overstep can get them into deep trouble, and others may act hastily in response. As a matter of fact, a lot of others are already protesting about his malignancy overstepping across the empire. His fake Doge department alone has created chaos across scores of government agencies. As a result, lawsuits are being lodged and protests are increasing. Hey, go to the blog, click on the link for all those things if you dare. Doge fanboy Elon Musk is watching sales of his Tesla cars and truck tank worldwide, and more protests and sabotage at his dealerships and charging stations are taking place. At the same time, climate emergency protests continue, some initiated by scientists. Jamie McGonigal, Haley McCatton, and Peter Watson of XR Boston join us to talk about their protest at the Hanscom Airfield near Walden Pond here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Okay, so moving on to the EnviroShow quote of the week, and this one is spot on with regard to our guests this week. Quote, let your life be a counter friction to stop the machine. What I have to do is to see, at any rate, that I do not lend myself to the wrong which I condemn. That, of course, is Henry David Thoreau from Civil Disobedience.
Yeah, his famous essay about essentially being locked up. And that's when Emerson went to see him and and said, Henry, what are you doing in there behind bars? And Henry replied to Emerson and said, Ralph, what are you doing out there? And that essay on civil disobedience was incredibly inspirational for Martin Luther King Jr. and a lot of activists back in the 50s and 60s, 70s. It's a classic. And yeah. It's perfect for this interview. Okay, today on the Enviro Show, we are joined by some of the defendants in a recent action around the Hanscom, I don't know even what to call it, the Hanscom carbon spewing expansion of a private jet facility in the eastern part of Massachusetts. And maybe you can better explain it than I can, but this is something we've talked about on shows in the past, something that a lot of activism has been happening around. And these folks that we're going to have on the show here have been on the front lines of trying to stop this expansion for filthy rich private jet owners who just want to use their planes or their jets as, you know, instead of riding a bike, for instance, or, you know, doing something more reasonable. This is essentially a carbon bomb. And we want to hear the story about the folks that stood up against this, got arrested, and then, you know, tell your story about why you did that and how the rest of us can be inspired by your actions and what we need to do to stop this kind of crazy stuff from happening in Massachusetts. And really, this isn't just Massachusetts. This kind of stuff is happening everywhere. And we really need to say no more. You know, we can't do this when the planet is has a fever and is catching on fire, and we need to really do something about it. So I'm going to turn it over to Jamie. Please introduce yourself. Welcome to the Enviro Show, and then introduce the your co-defendants or the defendants in this case, and you know, tell us where you're from. I'll say it's Extinction Rebellion Boston chapter, but go ahead, introduce yourselves, and then take it off from there.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for having us. As you said, my name is Jamie McGonigal. I'm the media and messaging spokesperson for XR Boston. We are so lucky to be joined by two of the defendants from the Hanscom protest. To add a little bit more details to why we're here today, on April 20th of 2024, 21 people were arrested for peacefully protesting an expansion of Hanscom Field, which is separate from the Hanscom Air Force Base, which does not have an airfield. Hanscom Field is run by Massport. It is predominantly used for private jets for the ultra wealthy. There is an expansion that developers have proposed. And if that expansion goes through, which includes 17 new private jet hangars, private jet emissions from Hanscom Field alone would cancel nearly 70% of the climate gains from all solar photovoltaics ever installed in the state of Massachusetts. When we say it is a climate crisis, we mean it. 21 members of XR Boston and XR Vermont were arrested for peacefully protesting this expansion last year during the comment period for the developer's environmental impact report. It was part of our public comment. The two that we are joined with here today, their names are Haley and Peter. Both were arrested that day. Both are still going through the legal process. Haley and Peter, if you would one by one like to introduce yourselves, maybe start with Haley.
Oh, no. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having us here today. As Jamie said, my name is Haley. I use she, they pronouns. And I'm one of the 21 people who was arrested last April at Hanscom. I'll let Peter introduce himself.
Hi, everyone. This is Peter here. My name is Peter Watson. I am an 81-year-old senior who was arrested along with Haley and 19 others at the airfield almost a year ago. It's almost a year ago that happened. We've been in the legal process ever since.
All right. So let me ask, first off, what personally motivated you to take this action as a climate activist or a social justice activist or whatever? You know, what was the motivation that got you to step up and risk being arrested or be arrested if you had ever been arrested before? And, you know, what was it that pushed you kind of over that line of feeling like, we come from a long tradition here in Massachusetts, the Boston Tea Harbor, for instance, you know, that part of the revolution. And also here in the Connecticut River Valley, we had an amazing role model named Francis Crowe, who was instrumental in forming the radio station that we started at, Valley Free Radio in Northampton. And Francis started that by putting an antenna up in a pine tree in her backyard and doing pirate radio in order to broadcast Democracy Now!, which none of the public radio stations would carry in this area. And, you know, that's many years ago. But we had Francis Crowe, who once said to Amy Goodman on Democracy Now!, when Amy asked her, Francis, how many times have you been arrested? And Francis looked at Amy and said, not nearly enough. So I'd like to hear from you folks, what was it that motivated you to do that? Because a lot of other people need to find that inspiration in order to take direct action, nonviolent civil disobedience in the way that Henry David Thoreau inspired people with his essay on civil disobedience, which inspired Martin Luther King Jr. and other people to use civil disobedience as a way for social protest.
I'm happy to go on that. I have a history that goes back a long way, obviously, and so I had some kind of experience in earlier in my life in protesting. You could probably hear from my accent that I'm originally from England, and I remember very well during the Vietnam War joining a huge crowd outside the American Embassy in London and throwing eggs at the front door. So going on from that, I obviously ended up coming here, and I had a my citizenship granted in 1989, and so I am a legal citizen. And what prompted me in particular to join this action was something that my daughter said to me several years ago when she came and said, "Dad, you know, I'm not going to have any children." And I said, "Oh, why?" And her answer was that she didn't want to bring young ones into a world that was suffering from climate change, suffering from environmental disaster, and with no secure future to look forward to. And you know, when I look around at kids going to school these days, I wonder, you know, what is the future going to be like for them if we can't find a way to stop all of this toxic stuff going into the atmosphere? So I felt it was incumbent upon me. I felt it was like a moral duty to protest what this expansion at Hanscom would have meant locally. And it's interesting that you mentioned Henry David Thoreau, because the jet airplanes that take off from Hanscom fly directly over his grave in Concord. And I can only imagine him turning in his grave, and wanting to be out there with us, protesting what was going on.
I mean, for me, I mean, I really resonate with what Peter says as well, but I think the big picture of, yes, there's a climate crisis and global warming, and most people understand that on the outside, but don't quite understand the true extreme measures that we're at this point, and how bad the crisis is, and how the more we learn, the worse we realize of a situation we've put ourselves in. So it's definitely our moral imperative to be doing something about this. But personally, it's more of a, we can't sit around waiting for someone else to come and do something and save us, because there's no one else coming. That someone is you. You need to get up and do something, whatever it may be, whether it's with a civil disobedience protest, or whether it's doing a statehouse standout. Just doing something to try and push for change, because our only power comes from working together. And for myself, I'm 31 years old. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. The conversations of what our future looked like have changed drastically since then. Did we plan on having a home and having kids? Sure. At this point, no, we don't. We also don't want to bring kids into this world with such an uncertain future, and that climate collapse is coming at us so much faster and sooner than most people realize. And the more we keep pandering to these billionaires and the ultra rich, the worse it's going to get, because they're not looking at this in terms of the greater good. They're thinking what's best for them, and we need to step up and say, no, enough is enough. You're ruining this world for everyone, and it's time to do something about it.
Well, let me just say, for me, Hanscom, it represents, it's an actual target or threat, but it's also very symbolic in that the ultra rich are responsible for a very huge disproportionate share of carbon emissions. And the fact that they can do that without anyone questioning or challenging that is really at the root of the problem that we have here with you know, the top 10% emitting more than the bottom 50% or 80%, really. And I hear what you say about, you know, future generations. We have to be concerned that right now in America, the average child being born now will represent a carbon debt or a carbon burden going forward, as if 22 people never drove a car for the rest of their lives or for their entire lives. And that's just, and you know, that's because of our society that we live in, and we have to change. We cannot allow this kind of waste. And that's what I think private jets represent to me, is just an unbelievable waste of precious resources. But I do want to hear really what this represents to you as far as the specific target of this Hanscom thing. Then what are the next steps for actually stopping this horrendous idea from being carried through by Massport, you know, by, I don't know if the governor is in favor of this. You know, what do we need to do politically and as activists to stop this from, this crazy thing from happening?
Well, I if I can have a shot at that, you mentioned the governor, and I happened to help to organize a standout at the State House where we confront legislators. This happens twice a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But the thing is, we have to find a way to halt the outrageously wealthy from continuing to do what they're doing. And just as an example, something that could be done by legislators is that currently private jets are exempt from sales tax. And the facilities like the hangars are also free from property tax, and they provide huge tax breaks to these already wealthy people. Those breaks are in the hands of legislators. And what we need to do is to turn the legislators into moral beings who prevent this from happening.
A question. First of all, Peter's story is really moving, and the moral duty, that's something I can relate to. And also Walden Pond presence from the airfield is a true irony. But I wonder if we can step back and maybe Haley or Jamie could describe what the action actually was for our listeners. Thanks.
At the moment, we're still in the legal process, and so it's difficult to talk about the details of the day just because we're still going through the process of the courts. And so I don't know how much we're actually going to be able to share about April 20th today.
We got very wet.
It was raining. It was damp.
Wet. It was a little cold. We were holding signs and banners. And by the time we were arrested, we were all kind of just sat out front. They had everyone just kind of sit in a group on the sidewalk. And we just started singing and chanting in front of what looked like hundreds of thousands of cops in front of us. Really, the amount of the force that they sent out to respond to what was a peaceful, nonviolent protest is absolutely absurd. I don't even want to know the amount of resources and the money that they spent for whatever overtime and extra charges, just based on how many people and how many vehicles they sent to respond to this.
And I think it is especially striking the response of the various police forces that showed up, because Hanscom Field is situated at an intersection of Concord, Bedford, and Lexington. So all three police departments responded to peaceful protesters. And it's important to note that a lot of the people who were arrested that day have never been convicted of a crime. For many of them, it was their first arrest. It was a completely nonviolent, peaceful demonstration. which is the rule for Extinction Rebellion as an organization globally, and certainly for Extinction Rebellion Boston. It seems like an overreaction and a wild use of taxpayer money, which connects to Peter made a great comment about taxpayers in this conversation about the expansion that mainly serves to benefit the ultra wealthy, the kind of people who are taking their private jets for short flights around the northeastern United States. Taxpayer money will be paying for this expansion for these private jet hangars because it is a Massport project. It is a publicly funded project for the ultra wealthy. And there was also a question about what can people do? How can people be involved in this process? And there are two aspects. As I said at the very beginning, this action was planned during the public comment period for the proposed developers' draft environmental impact report. Which was so truly full of lies, it was astounding to read. It didn't count carbon emissions from the planes, merely from the buildings that would be holding the planes. It didn't count pollution particulates that would be in the air, in the water, in the soil. It was a drastic understatement of the impact of this expansion. So we had this action during the public comment period, and as a result, I truly believe, of this action and of some efforts of our friends at Stop Private Jet Expansion at Hanscom or Anywhere, the state was flooded with more than 1,500 public comments from individuals, as well as from federal, state, and local government officials and agencies. And then in response to this, MEPA required that the developers submit a supplemental DEIR to answer for the glaring deficiencies in their original report before this project could continue. It has now been nearly a year, so that supplemental DEIR will likely be released this spring, and there will be another public comment period. I urge people who are listening who are invested in stopping private jet expansion, and particularly this project that so many people have sacrificed so much to fight, to keep an eye out for that public comment period that will likely be tried to be snuck past you. But our friends at stopprivatejetexpansion.org are very good about updating their website to keep people updated. On our website, xrboston.org, there will likely be updates. And we also recommend that people follow XR Boston on social media. We will be posting updates not only about the public comment period for this expansion, but also for the defendants' process in the courts, which they are still in. Many of the defendants who were arrested at Hanscom Field will be going to trial, which is a very big deal to have a climate trial of this size in the state of Massachusetts. And the trial will be moving forward around the time of that public comment period. We will be posting information, and we'll be posting content from the defendants around the time of that trial. So people who are interested in following this trial, supporting these defendants, sharing your enthusiasm, sharing your support, to please follow us on social media and make comments. Let the defendants know that you stand with them, because today we get to talk to Peter and Haley, who are so wonderful and so kind and such a joy to be around. And I can assure you that this whole group of defendants is very much at that caliber of person. They really, truly are a group that it is an honor to work with, and it's an honor to watch their courage and their steadfastness throughout this process. It has been just such a pleasure. So those are a couple of small things people can do. If you're interested in getting involved, watch for that public comment period and submit your own public comment. You can support our defendants on the social media. You can follow us if you look up XR Boston. Almost all of our handles are at XR Boston on almost all social media sites. And Peter, do you want to talk a little bit more about the State House standout at the Massachusetts State House?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. This is something that has been going on now for almost 3 years. We started way back when, and we had some success. Well, basically what happened is that we assembled a group of people outside the State House with placards and with messaging and with handouts and with their voices. And we interact with whoever's going in or out, you know, whether they're visitors, whether they are people who work there, or whether they are representatives or senators or whatever. We've even managed to catch the governor on a couple of occasions. So we are continuing to do that on Tuesdays and Thursdays for 2 hours, two-hour shifts between 10 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So if you happen to come to Boston and are looking for something fun to do during lunch, feel free to drop by and just introduce yourself to whoever you find there. They'll be very recognizable, and you'll be able to see from the signs that they are wearing or what they're saying. So, yeah, please come and join us. And the other thing I want to say to people is that I know that a lot of people listening to this may be in like more remote rural areas, but climate action is possible for anyone, anywhere. And climate action includes just going out of your door, meeting your neighbor and talking about it is like a really good first step, because creating community around it is, for me, one of the things that has kept me engaged and involved.
Well, we here on the Enviro Show truly stand with you guys, and we link to the State House Standout all the time on our blog. I can't thank you enough for all you've done.
Well, let me throw in one more thing, and that is that XR Boston routinely does trainings for nonviolent civil disobedience. So, you know, before I engaged in the action where I was arrested for protesting logging on public lands, I actually attended a training class on how to behave and how, you know, the rules for engaging in nonviolent civil disobedience. And I know XR Boston does that regularly because I've actually attended some of your training, online trainings. And that's something that listeners may be interested in. Also, anyone can join those online Zoom training sessions and learn, you know, the protocol, the proper behavior for being arrested, so that no one is at risk. You agree to the rules before you do this, that you are nonviolent and that you don't bring any alcohol or drugs with you, that you do a lot of things. So maybe you can talk about how folks can participate in that and, you know, learn about when they are. I know you have one coming up very soon. And then that will hopefully prepare people to engage in this kind of organized civil disobedient effort, because it is more helpful to have comrades with you on the front lines. You know, there is a lot of solidarity in these kinds of things. So can you speak to that?
Just adding on to that too, even if some people are not in a place where they're able to take such drastic action or put themselves on the line for arrest, you can still be involved. There are so many support roles that go into something like this. We had 21 people arrested, but there were so many people supporting us. There was jail support, there was media support, there were all of our supporters who were standing out along the roads with their signs. So there are so many different ways that everyone can plug in, no matter who you are or what your abilities are. There is some way to be involved.
And a great way to be involved are the online trainings that Glenn mentioned. They're available on xrboston.org. If you go to the events tab, you'll see a myriad of events. I was looking at it just now, and we have an event almost every day for the duration of the month of March. Many of them are online. Our next online nonviolent direct action training is on Tuesday, March 18th at 6 p.m. But we regularly have them. If you take a look at our events calendar, we also have regular orientations if you want to learn more about XR Boston in general. We also have regular peacekeeping and de-escalation trainings that are really helpful if you're interested in doing nonviolent direct action to help people who either are at risk of arrest or are vulnerable in some other way, to help them participate safely in nonviolent direct action. I highly recommend those. There are also online offerings like regular grief circles that are very useful if you're experiencing climate grief.
I'll just say that, you know, Dio and I, we were Massachusetts Earth First for quite a few years back in the 90s. You know, we've been doing this show now for 20 years. And several years ago, when we first heard about XR, you know, that was happening, Extinction Rebellion, that was being organized in the UK, Dio and I were like, this is like Earth First being reborn, because it was really the same kind of thing. It was, you know, oriented towards the extinction crisis and the climate crisis. But for us, it was just the same thing. We felt like this was calling to us. This was a home. And so we have been involved in XR Western Mass in the past. And, you know, we have been big supporters of that effort. And just, I think, want to say how amazing it is to see so much activity in the Boston area, where, you know, a lot of people have been coming together to do these actions. And they are joyful. They're a festival of a sort, especially when you have the Red Brigade participating. It's theatrical. And it is a way to build community around what otherwise can be a depressing and devastating reality that we're dealing with. But this is a way to overcome that. And we say on this show, the antidote to despair is action. And so, you know, we want people to be inspired by what you're doing and figure out how to get up off the couch and join in this effort. Because like you said, we all need to do this. We all need to be active right now, because otherwise we won't have a future unless we're active today. Like the slogan in the 70s was, better active today than radioactive tomorrow, when we were protesting nukes. You know, that's where we're at with the climate crisis. We have to be active now, because if we're not active, if we're just passive, then the same stuff is going to keep happening, and we are going to have, a not very good future unless we really get it together. And protesting is a way for us to express that. So I guess if you have anything final to say, I'll just say that I, like Dio, just really appreciate what you're doing and really hope that our listeners are inspired. But I'll give you the last word.
Right. Stand up, fight back.
When Mother Earth is under attack, what do we do? Stand up, fight back. Hell yeah. Yeah, I'll just add that to everyone out there who cares but is too busy, is trying to live their life and just get by right now. I know we're in some very troubling times at the moment, and there's a lot going on, but this is something that affects all of us. And if you look back in history and even just the past couple decades, you can sign all the petitions you want and send all the letters. That's great, but they don't accomplish anything. Unfortunately, it's just shouting into the void and no one's listening. So why do we do what we do? Well, unfortunately, we have to. We have to escalate things in order to shift the focus to the issues, not to ourselves, but to the issue, the greater issue at hand, and hopefully try and push that needle and affect some change in some way. And we're all just living here doing the best we can and trying to make the world slightly better.
I support everything you just said, Haley. And I just want to reiterate, you know, you've got to act. Acting is the thing. It won't work to sit in front of your computer and try to affect things through social media, etc. What's needed is to actually get your physical body outside and participate in something, and it doesn't really matter at what level. We just need your support.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. I just want to thank Jamie and Peter and Haley for coming on the show and telling us about this and inspiring people to get active in the climate movement and specifically XR Boston. We really think that you're a model for activism, at least here in Massachusetts. So keep up the great work. Jamie, if you want to say anything at the end, you're welcome to, but really want to appreciate you folks and your activism and keep up the great work.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us. And also just want to shout out a huge thank you to the National Lawyers Guild, without whom we could not do what we do. So thank you, NLG.
All right. Again, thanks so much. And we'll see you on the front lines.
Yes, indeed. Well, what do you think about that? Now we can go shouting into the void along with our friends from XR Boston.
I think it's awesome. And I think that there are a lot of people that can see that as an example of courageous behavior, mm-hmm. and that we all probably need to get in touch with that inner troublemaker inside of us, especially those of us that are kind of approaching a certain age. This might be our last opportunity to engage in these kinds of activities before we just physically can't do that anymore. And so I think that troublemakers of all age need to come together now and get active and get involved. And like these folks, they didn't have experience, lifelong experience doing this. It's not something that they teach you in school. If you go to school or college or wherever, it's not a class typically, but we need to gather together in our basic tribal units and affinity groups, if you want to call them that, and then take this kind of direct, nonviolent civil disobedience action, because it's the only thing that actually accomplishes something, is when people get together and stand for something and push back. Like Thoreau said, be some counter friction to this machine. And like the Luddites did, they threw off their wooden shoes into the machinery that they were chained to, essentially, during the Industrial Revolution. And that was an act of defiance. And the shoes that they wore, wooden shoes, were called sabots. And that's where the word sabotage comes from.
That's right.
They were kicking off their wooden shoes into the machinery to gum up the works and provide counter friction to the machine. And I think that we all need to consider that that is our moral obligation at this point, yeah. in the climate crisis, the biodiversity crisis, and now, yeah. the unfolding disaster that we're all experiencing here with his malignancy and the oligarchs that, yeah. are trying to destroy life for everyone except for themselves.
Right.
And resistance is mandatory at this point. So folks, get trained, go to a nonviolent civil disobedience training like one that XR offers regularly, or get together with a local group of folks and start practicing. And then we need to have a massive movement of civil engagement.
Yeah.
And instead of representational democracy, we have to switch that over to participatory democracy.
Right.
And that's really what this means. This means that you're no longer being represented by someone. Well, you'll still be represented, but you're no longer relying on that kind of distant representation. Instead, you're a direct participant in the future. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what we've been talking about on this show for decades. So let's all get out of our comfort zone and take action to save the earth.
Right.
Hey, that's it. So that's the Ides of March show. You know, beware Caesar, the Ides of March.
Mm.
And remember, I think that Caesar also said his last gasp, his last words were to remember.
Listen to your mother.
That's right. I'm Glenn Ayers.
Yeah, this is Tia saying adios.
Yep, take care, folks, and beware.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.